peculiar as Helen and I. So that's good. That's good. You're unique. You're pioneers of the Lord. I want to give a little recap, a little bit of an overview, because some of you weren't here last night. Some of you were or may not have been here this morning. So just to kind of bring you to where we're at right now, okay? The issue is that there is a role between the remnant Christian church, remnant. You all know that there is a harlot church. But a remnant church, the faithful remnant, the faithful few, that relationship with Israel, and also in terms of a remnant Israel, because Paul says to the Romans, not everyone that says Israel is from Israel or a Jew. Okay, that's another subject. But the issue is, how does a remnant church and the remnant Israel and Jews fit together? Now, este es asunto de no acabar. This is a matter that I cannot end in one series or one weekend or one week, but it's a beginning. It's a beginning, all right? So that's the issue. The secondary issue is that there are crypto Jews, hidden Jews, amongst us and have been for hundreds of years. This morning I referred to Amos 9:1-1, that the day was coming in which we would restore the fallen tent of David. Now, I traced it between yesterday and today and now. Who is this fallen tent? And who's going to restore it? Because it say, we shall, that the fallen tent of David will be restored. So it's a two-pronged thing. Who's the tent and who's the restorer? And that, again, is the remnant church restoring. Israel cannot do without the remnant church. Okay? But neither can the remnant church do without Israel. They go together. I read the scripture in Hebrews where that it says clearly that they, talking about the ancient patriarchs, the Tanakh, the Old Testament leaders, are imperfect without us, talking about the Brit Hadashah people, the New Testament people, today's remnant people, the believers. So we need each other. But the go-between, standing in the gap, who stands in the gap and doesn't even know they've been standing in the gap? Now, that brings it closer to where we're at tonight. Who are the, there's a Jewish sage that has said, greater is the one that stands in the gap than he who repairs the gap. Wow, think about it. So even when we didn't know that there were crypto Jews, I call them the tent people, the fallen tent. I call them the desert people. Why? Because Obadiah says the exiles of Jerusalem that are in Sephardic Spain. Well, they were because they got expelled in 1492. And that's where Christopher Columbus' whole journey begins. All right? So, he says, they're going to return and occupy the cities and the villages of the Negev. That's another story. But the Negev is 60% of the landmass of Israel, and only 7% Israeli Jews live in 60% of the land. So you could ask, why? One response is because the heirs are not there. Well, who did Obadiah say are the heirs? Well, the exiles of Jerusalem, of the southern kingdom, they're Judahites. They're from the kingdom of Judah. They're from the tribe of Judah. Simple. Rabbi Chaim Dinovich, an Orthodox rabbi, said It was March of last year at a conference in Netanya in Israel, says, that these Sephardic Jews, the exiles of Jerusalem that are, they were in Sephardim because he got kicked out. Well, where did they go? We're going to get there. Are going to return and occupy the Negev. That's why I call them Negev, desert people. Are you all following with me? This is a lot to cover, okay? And I'm trying to condense it in a simple way and move on here. Well, they're going to return. And so Rabbi Dinovich says that these people that wound up in Spain and Portugal, the whole Iberian Peninsula, are from the tribe of Judah. Okay? From the tribe of Judah. Consequently, from the line of David, the king. So it gets real profound. And I don't have the time. He said, well, why do you even mention it? Because I'm just kind of whetting your appetite. That perchance, if God wills, at some point through my books or through my DVDs or through our rendezvous in the future or my being here, however, that you could pursue this. It's a lifelong journey. So, coming back to the issue of we're dealing with a people that were dispersed since the days of the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC. That's when David's tent fell because the Babylonian troops came in, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, burned the temple, etc. But it was reconstructed. But what happened with the Jews that were in Jerusalem? Well, Obadiah says it, and other prophets say it. And secular and regular history says it. They wound up in Sepharad, which is Spain, among other places, predominantly Spain. Because since the days of Solomon, the king, Solomon and Hiram already had an enterprise in Sepharad in Spain since around 900 BC. It's in the Bible. Okay? So then many years after their flight, many of them escaped the Babylonian captivity, the exile. They wound up in Sepharad, Spain. And then we have, recapping, trying to wrap up the recap, is they wound up after Yeshua's sacrifice, death, ascension, etc., we see the destruction by the Roman Empire. The Roman troops destroyed Jerusalem and the Second Temple, the reconstructed temple. Where did many of the Jews flee to? The Jews of the kingdom of Judah. They fled to Sepharad, to Spain. The equivalent of the Spanish Sephardim is Ashkenazim, Ashkenazi. Ashkenaz stands for Germany. From Germany, then Eastern Europe, Poland, Russia, that's where you get the Ashkenazi from. Ashkenaz, Germany, and then on north into the Eastern European places. Meantime, back to the Sephardim. They wound up with Christopher Columbus in the New World. I have lists of names of the passengers with Christopher Columbus in his fleets, La Niña, La Pinta, La Santa Maria, four journeys documented historically that he made across the ocean from Spain to the New World. Who are these passengers on La Niña, La Pinta, La Santa Maria? The Spanish Sephardic surnames. That's why I say they're the go-between Jews, Israel, and the church. Why? Because ancestrally, whether they know it or not, historically, they're Jews, but they don't know it. In the last 10 years or so, there's been a phenomenal awakening. There's just too much to say, but I'm telling you, and you could read up on yourself. You got to bone up. You got to research if you wish, okay? So they continued coming to the New World, escaping the Spanish Inquisition, the Portuguese Inquisition, which lasted 300 years holocausts, holocaustos. And the target were the Jews. And they wound up with explorers and conquistadores, conquistadors. And one of the conquistadors that came toward the San Luis Valley, and I wanted to bring it to that point because that's your backyard. All right? The San Luis Valley of New Mexico and coming over into Laredo was Don Juan de Oñate. Don Juan, like John. Don Juan. He was a viceroy to King Philip II. All right? So, that's how many... If you go to the San Luis Valley, and not only the San Luis Valley, they wound up in all across, all throughout New Mexico. Their hub was in Santa Fe, New Mexico. They pushed all the way upward and into Colorado. This is way before the state lines were drawn. Way before there was Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and so forth. Way before. You're talking about the 1500s. Okay? Are you with me? Follow with me. So, these are part of the fallen tent of David. This is the people of the fallen tent of David. But they don't know. That's why many of them have called them crypto-Jews. Crypto from the Greek word hidden or secret. Okay? So, you heard me speak about this morning, but I also mentioned that their forefathers, our forefathers, hid the secret so well, so long, we forgot what the secret was. I met Helen when I met her before marriage over 50 years ago. I told you this morning, we've been married almost 53 years next month, okay? And she already knew. She was one of the very, very, very few, one percentile or less, of the Hispanics with Martinez surname, and she was telling me that she has Jewish blood. I said, say what? And I kind of joke about it. I said, well, if it were Martinezstein or Martinezberg or Martinez son or Martinez man, then maybe, because those are commonly known as Ashkenazi surnames, okay? But it wasn't until 20 years ago that my father then discovered the secret as a babe of the family at 77 years of age, the baby, el bebé. And he discovered the secret from his nieces. Why the nieces? Why not the nephews? Because the Sephardic women had a tradition. Tell the secret of their identity to the daughters, but not to the sons, because the sons are crazy. They get drunk, and they go tell the story. They go release the secret. So then my father was entrusted the secret of their identity. I said, so what? Well, then maybe Helen, in fact, has a degree of truth there. That if Dad's got it right, and if the facts line up, then my golly, maybe that she is right, that there's... That there is a Jewish lineage with Spanish-speaking surnames, which are originally Sephardic. We've now discovered close to 17,000 bona fide surnames that are Sephardic. And they sound very Spanish. All right? They sure do. Okay. Now, just, I said to you this morning, I need to get into this thing. I said, look, it's not about an ethnocentric situation. It's not about my being braggadocious or whoopee me or this or that. I'm humbled. I am humbled that these facts are lining up and true, even to the point that of recent, and you guys were there March of last year, Roger and Gail, and you heard that for yourself. The Israeli government is now doing everything conceivable to bring back David's fallen tent. People like us. I discovered that Helen is a descendant of Don Juan de Oñate. I got a little jealous. I said, I don't even know who I'm a descendant of. Well, then I just about 2 months discovered that, my God, I'm also a descendant of Don Juan de Oñate. She from her mom's side and me from my mother's side. So on, this is not atypical. This is typical as we travel from coast to coast and discern the facts, and now the Israeli government pushing this thing, and I've got many facts for that, but I don't have time to get into it, you know, not right now, not tonight. Well, then there's something about this fallen tent of David that needs restoring, and they're the perfect go-between because ancestrally, by blood, we're Jews. But we didn't know. We thought we were Mexican, Mexican-American, Hispanic, Latino, Mojado, wetback. Well, but not wetbacks, not me. We've been citizens for many years, okay? So we thought we were someone else. But on the other hand, we were born and reared in what? In good, solid, godly Christian circles. I mean, Levites, leaders in my father's side, my mother's side. I marry Helen, her father's side, her mother's side. So we're not neophytes in the things of the Lord. You follow? We're not novices. Okay? So then, who's a good go-between is these people of the fallen tent of David that are barely discovering who they are. Okay? So, I'm talking about a cryptology theology here. Cryptology, don't get scared. Cryptology is okay. It just means a theology of mystery. It's a theology of secrets. It's a theology of hiddenness, okay? So this morning I mentioned that I had a vision 7 years ago of you all in this whole corridor as being an underground railroad. And I mentioned to you, and I mentioned this, I think, 7 years ago, Pastor Al and his wife and all, we talked about that vision, and it's just too much to say, but just follow me. If you were here this morning, you caught a little bit of a glimpse of that, is that you're called to be a safe place. And many people have come from across the country. I don't know this factually. I know this revelationally. And if they're not here yet, Pastor Justin, they're on their way. They're on their way. Because your calling and your anointing is very peculiar. Just not any congregation can do what I'm saying. And no congregation can do it in and of themselves, okay? But with the help of God, it can be done. So you're going to have to learn the whole psychology of cryptology. You have the overt, what you see. And then you have the covert, what you don't see. Why? That's not new in the Bible. You have the public and you have the private. You have the classic and you have the clandestine. That's not new. From the times of Abraham, Father Abraham, he hid his identity, all right, from the Philistine king about Sarah being a sister, not his wife. That's cryptology. Baby Moses was hidden by his parents. All right? That's cryptology. For 40 years, his identity was obscure until he comes out into the open and admits to King Pharaoh who he is. That's cryptology. That's hiddenness. David constantly hiding from Saul, on and on and on. That's cryptology. Hello, especially Adullam and En-Gedi. Joseph and Mary hiding Yeshua. That's cryptology. First century church in the caverns, in the catacombs, in the caves for survival. That's cryptology. You follow? We're going there. Crypto-Jews, now, the Jews that have been in hiding, in fact, they didn't even know they were crypto-Jews. We go tooting our shofar, letting them know who they are, okay? Crypto-Jews have been in hiding since the days, as I already said, of Babylon, Rome, and then the Holocaust of Spain, Portugal, and so forth. When they arrived in the 1500s, I can point directly to the fact that our forefathers have been here. But they need, our people need spiritual doctors and nurses. Spiritual people, I believe, like you, that are called and able to heal and to restore. Amen? All right. Meantime, many Christians live in virtual hiding today in Muslim countries. That's cryptology. Or they get killed. Okay? The day is coming when the remnant American Christian church will also be forced into hiding. Come on, wake up. There's signs of a revolution or civil war already across the country. Now, do I hope for that? No, I don't. I'm an American as you are. But that's just the reality. The day is coming when every Jew will have to be registered or put in a detention camp, camps that already exist across the nation, bonafide camps. The day is coming where if you don't have your church registered and state operated, you're going to be persecuted. Okay? So I want to draw a parallel in terms of cryptology and how do you live this thing? God will have to reveal to you, as far as you take the steps of obedience, how do you make this happen? How do you live a life as a church, as a congregation, as a city of refuge? How do you make it happen? First, you learn from the Word, and then you, one step at a time. Okay? Do I have the whole formula? No. All right? So I want to draw a parallel between the mystery of Obadiah, the prophet, and your destiny. Are you ready? All right? Now, I want you to know that Jews believe that Obadiah, the book of Obadiah, is the same Obadiah during the time of 1 Kings, King Ahab, and Queen Jezebel. That's what Jews believe. And I tend to believe that. I tend to believe that. Okay? So what am I saying? What happened is a parallel with you. As with Obadiah, he hid 100 prophets in two caves, 50 and 50, and provided and protected food and lodging, hiding them from what? From Queen Jezebel. What is Queen Jezebel representing? Anti-prophet. Anti-prophetic. It's a no-brainer. She's killing the prophets of God. So Obadiah hides them. I could see a parallel already. Hiding place. Hiding place. Why you? I don't know. I'm just reporting what God has shown me. All right? Now, I wish to interface this story of 1 Kings Obadiah under Ahab and Jezebel with Obadiah's little book, verse 20, as I did this morning. I want to follow up. 20b. Let me recite it. I already said it. The exiles of Jerusalem that are in Sepharad, Spain, will return and occupy the Negev. Then liberators will ascend Mount Zion. Point A of verse 21. They're going to judge or wreak havoc on the mountains of Esau, the Edomites. That's point B. And point C is, and then the kingdom shall be the Lord's. But you can't get, and then the kingdom shall be the Lord's, until you have these first steps. Do you understand? If you don't go through the exiles of Jerusalem that were in Sepharad are going to return and occupy the Negev. Now, I'm not talking about all the Sephardim going to the Negev tonight. A random sampling of God's hand that belong there, and God is causing the Israeli government, listen to this closely. Last October, Helen and I were interviewed by the Ministry of Diaspora of the Israeli government under the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. what was the issue? Why were we being interviewed by the ministry of diaspora, the ministry of the dispersed, all the Jews that are not in Israel, but we're scattered? They want to know, they want to hear from us. What do we need to learn? That's the Israeli government saying about your people, and what do you perceive we need to do to accommodate for your people to come in? Up until then, the Haredim, the ultra-Orthodox rabbis, were in charge of the Aliyah gate. It was no way. Sorry, but they hate us. But now there's a friendly government, a miracle from heaven, a friendly government under Natan Sharansky, the Minister of Interior, or the head of the Jewish agency, I forget which, that is saying we want to work to draw these people in. All I'm saying is we are at the brink. We are at the cutting edge. It could happen this year. It could happen next year. But it has to happen before 2020. I'll tell you why. Because by the year 2020, it's just around the corner. If a miracle does not happen, a miracle of miracles, the Palestinian Muslims are going to overshadow the Israeli Jews and shift the whole political bloc and government of Israel. And Prime Minister Netanyahu has gone on record as saying at that point, Israel ceases to become a Jewish state. And it becomes what? A Muslim state. If a miracle does not happen, but, excuse me, but Jews are not growing in population even by reproduction, by having babies. The Muslims are having them. We got to get some of our Hispanics with big families out there, huh? We still believe in big families. All right? So, that being the case, that even if every Jewish family, couple, would prompt their reproductivity, they still couldn't catch up to the trend of the Muslim Palestinians. But what's the backup to that? The fallen tent of David, the crypto Jews. We are, at least scholars, expert historians say there are over 100 million of our kind around the world. Over 100 million. You know how many Jews are in Israel right now? Less than 7 million. You know how many Jews are recorded around the world? Around 20 million. That doesn't compare to 1.6 billion Muslims. Billion, not million. But hey, the fallen tent of David has been prospering and multiplying. When we didn't even know who we were. And God is waking our people up for such a time as this. You understand what I'm saying? Are you following me? So we've got some work to do. In you, in this congregation, and in my people is resident an anointed deposit. Bob Jones, a dear friend of mine, before he died, he would come and he stayed over our home a number of times, a man of God, a prophet of God. Some of you may have heard about him. He'd say, just show up and be on time. That's all you got to do. What do you mean by that? Just show up and be on time. I mean, just do nothing. The anointing of God in you. The anointing of God in you, in me. When we show up, he shows up. Aha. And that anointing frees the Spirit of God. It releases the angelic host to do what we could never do, especially among vicious terrorists of the Islamic world. Are you following? This is a supernatural thing. We're talking about supernatural situations. We're talking about impossible situations. We're talking about, we can't make it happen. Who? Us? Ni somos peleoneros. We're not even fighters or bullies. So what are we going to do with a bunch of radical terrorists? But the anointing in you. Helen and I were in the office of a high-ranking government leader. I won't even mention his name because I think we're going on record, okay? But he wanted to know our story. We're in the Jewish agency some years ago, and he wanted to know Helen and my story. And he was so at awe that we were coming to life after being as dead for 500 years since the Spanish Inquisition, since the Mexican Inquisition. He's in awe. He says, are they others like you? Ooh, I want to say there's billions like us, but I'd freak him out, you know. It's scared to death. And so I just says, there's tens of thousands like us. Inside I knew that there's millions of us. They are just barely saliendo el cascarón. Just barely kind of awakening, barely, just waking up, just like, duh, all right? And then he said, he slapped his desk 3 times in front of Helen and I, in front of his associate Moshe, and he says, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. This is a miracle. 3 times. And then he says, this is as if Moshiach has come. Messiah. I thought he was kidding, Justin. I almost fell back from my chair. I began to laugh aloud because I thought he was kidding. He wasn't kidding. This is like as if Moshiach, Messiah, has come. That there's people like you. I want to meet them, he says. Okay, come to Albuquerque. We had a big meeting with leaders years ago. I forget how many years ago. He flew in from straight from Israel to Albuquerque. I went to pick him up at the airport. The first thing he says to me as I'm picking him up at the curb, he says, what is this, Dale? The ends of the earth? I says, no, the ends of the earth is in Israel, in the Negev. But okay, this is our own little Negev, USA. What is this? This is what God is doing, all right? That God is bringing, and now I'm going to say again, follow with me, please. I'm having to just, Lord, I'm setting my notes. Man, no trip have I taken in 20 years. No trip that God, after I've labored 7 months, since I was here last January, and I've got everything tightened up and airtight and so blessed, and I get here and God says, thank you, file it. What do you mean, file it, God? What do you mean, file it? He says, I got something else for you to say. Oh, God. Oh, my God. And I told you, Roger, I was fighting some stuff. I told you by email. It says, oh, man, I'm battling some stuff. Well, I didn't tell you what the stuff was because I couldn't even explain it. And then I told you when we were eating at Chavalo's up here just a couple of three days ago, I says, man, and all what consolation. All he did was laugh. Bless your heart. When I told him, God has totally revolutionized my notes. And here I have a great notes. I'm excited about it. God says, that's very impressive. How about just let me use you as an instrument, yeah? This is your day. Why you? I don't know. That's what I've been fussing about since for 7 years, since that vision that I gave Brother Al, that I shared with him. And then I shared with you some about a couple of months ago or so about that vision. And I've shared with others. Why you? I don't know. Why here? Why now? So God has an appointment for you that I have not seen anywhere else, I think. And one of the things that distressed me the most is, oh, Lord, are these people going to think that I'm being ethnocentric, pumping up the Hispanic, Latino population of this city, state, or country? It's not about that. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's about what God is doing to the point that, as I've said over and over, has even drawn and awakened the Israeli government. Even, listen to this, even the Spanish government, Spain, guess what they're doing? Come back, descendants of the Sephardim. Come back, children of the Inquisition from 524 years ago. Come back. Come back and be a citizen. And we will work with you and try to give you a citizenship. And you can keep your citizenship with whatever nation you're in, i.e., America. They've already, the ambassador of Spain to Israel already went on the record as saying, it was there, I don't know if you were there, Roger, but he said they've processed and approved 4,200. Well, you might say, well, that's very few. That's impressive that they would want to go back to the very home that booted them out, their forefathers, tragically, with tortures and burnings at the stake and humiliation and hunting them down like animals. And they say, and not only Spain, but Portugal. I'm talking now, these are legal issues. Portugal saying, come back. Portugal had a vicious Inquisition just like Spain, but people don't know about it. Next thing we're going to hear is about the Mexican government. Come back, children of the Inquisition. No, gracias. You know what gracias is. No, thanks. No. We got problems of our own. You got bigger problems out down there. All indicators point this way. The time is now. We don't have much time. You're going to have to speed up. You're going to have to speed up. You're going to have to speed your accelerate in terms of what you do. Do it conscientiously. Whatever you're going to do, do it now. There's wisdom resident here. And if you lack wisdom, ask it for the Father, and he'll give it to you. You invoke the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if a few of you wise men, I didn't say wise guys, okay? Wise ones come together, and you don't know what to do, God will reveal to you. God will reveal to you. God will give you answers. God will give you a plan. God will give you a strategy. A plan of action. But you got to start now. Don't wait till 2019. Too late almost. I don't even know if it's going to be before then. I would not doubt that there's a civil war in the U.S. of A. according to how we see the political scenario right now in our own nation. Trump goes here and there. And there's protests and violence. Excuse me, but that's just the way it is. We're at the verge of a civil war. We're at the verge of Sharia law being ushered in. We're at the verge of terror cells exploding all over the place. So don't wait. Amen. I want to close because there's some people that I would think that you have some questions and comments. And based on what you said this morning, and I agree, you need to ask your questions. All right? But let me just wrap it up with this. This is the time for the Christian remnant church. And the Sephardic Anusim crypto Jews to come together and see how you're going to partner with the Jewish people and Israel, partner to make to collaborate in these end time prophecies. Okay? To collaborate in these end time prophecies. Okay? So that's what I think that you need to hear. What you need to do is seek the face of God. This is your time. Amen? This is your time. God's called you for such a time as this. You'll have a private and you'll have a public. You'll have a secret and you'll have a overt and you'll have a covert ministry. And what is covert, secretive, keep it a secret. Stay humble. Stay humble because there will come and ask you from across the country and around the world, well, wow, what have you got? What do you have going here? You will be creating a prototype that could be replicated elsewhere. But you've got to stay humble. Humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Que no se te vaya a la cabeza. Don't let it get to your head and bloat you up. Stay humble. Humble yourself. Stay humble. Stay hungry. After God, above all things, after God. And be an advocate of Jews in Israel. Be an advocate of those crypto Jews that it's all about, which I taught about last evening. Amen? Let's give the Lord Yeshua a hand of thanksgiving. Would you join with me? Hallelujah.
All right. Don, Jerry, if you guys would, let's grab some of the offering stuff there. And we'll need, I'm going to volunteer somebody. Hey, Charlie Rogers, could you help them too? Thank you, sir. All right, so if you guys, we want to take an offering for Dell. And if you want to write a check tonight, you can make it out to Restoration Fellowship, and we will make sure it gets to him. And we've got to go all the way back and get into the deacon room. So I think what we'd like to do, because it's going to take a little bit, let's take some questions now, and then we can pause and take the offering. So we are going to be recording this, and what we're going to have to do is if you have a question, I'm going to have to bring you a mic so the people that listen to the recording know what the question was. Okay. So I'm going to go grab the other mic. Dell, why don't you take this one? Oh, are we ready, guys? All right. Let's take this. So let's pray as these guys come up. Lord, we're thankful for Dell and his wife and their ministry, God, and we ask right now that this offering would bless them, would honor them, God, would help them to continue to spread this message, to continue to encourage individuals that have an awakening to this. Lord, we just ask you right now that you would multiply finances for them. In Jesus' name. All right, let's go ahead and take it. And I'll get another mic and we'll start Q&A. Check 1, 2. All right, Dell. Okay, who has a question?
And before you ask your question, I want to, this morning I didn't take the time to honor our hosts. That is where we've been dwelling at the Harrison's home. Thank you, Lyndon and Bernadette. Thank you so much. We love you guys. Chris and Darlene, great friends, the kind of people that you want to get to know. Lou Jean back there. Is that you, Lou Jean? Yes, it's Lou Jean. And Jessica back there. I'm just so thankful. There's others there, like Stuart was here this morning, and Sheila. And so I just want to acknowledge, give credit where credit is due. Amen? Okay.